Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
So, a few weeks back, I found myself reminiscing. Anybody do that from time to time? Just reminisce. So I found myself reminiscing, and I was thinking back to a time in my life where the reality is that things were pretty good for me. I had every reason in my life to have joy and to practice Thanksgiving. However, if I'm honest with myself, joy and thanksgiving is not what I practice. In fact, I would say that it was the opposite. I found myself at that time in my life complaining and thinking, man, things could be better. And so I found myself pursuing better or more. And so as I think back to that time in my life where I certainly could have practiced Thanksgiving and I didn't, I think, man, I really squandered my opportunity for Thanksgiving at that time. So this morning, we're wrapping up this series titled Thanksgiving. And as we've gone through this series, we've looked at several different psalms and we've talked about living a lifestyle of gratitude. And this is what I want you to hear from me this morning. Don't squander your opportunity for Thanksgiving. Don't allow for your desire for more or something better to prevent you from seeing the blessings that God has put before you right now. Don't squander your opportunity for Thanksgiving. Now, maybe you would say that you don't have any reason to be thankful right now. Well, let me give you one very clear reason that we have, and that is Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus is our reason for Thanksgiving. Now, that may sound like the Sunday school answer, but that is the reality. Jesus is our reason for Thanksgiving, and I would take it a step further to say, even though Jesus may not be the only reason that we have to be thankful, Jesus is certainly the only reason that we need. In fact, as we think about Paul when he wrote the book of Philippians, I would say this is why Paul was able to, from prison, write a book that has become known as the book of joy, because even in the midst of prison, even in the midst of circumstances that many would say, man, you don't have any reason to be thankful, Paul knew that because he had Jesus, he had everything he needed to be thankful. And so even in the midst of prison, Paul was able to have joy and to live this life of gratitude. So let me say it again, Jesus is our reason for Thanksgiving. Now, as we've looked at the book of Psalms over the last several weeks, we've seen several reasons why we can live this lifestyle of gratitude, why we can practice Thanksgiving in our lives each and every day, and we're going to see more of those reasons this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Psalm chapter 111. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10, which is the entire chapter, Psalm 111, verses 1 through 10. Now, as you're turning there, I want to set this psalm up for you. Psalm 111 and Psalm 112 were written as a pair. And so they were to be read and to be understood together. So what we're going to see in Psalm 111 is that, once again, the psalmist talks about the greatness of our God, being reminded of all of the reasons that the Lord provides for us to offer Him thanksgiving. But then what you see in Psalm 112, even though we're not going to read Psalm 112 this morning, what we see in Psalm 112 are traits of the righteous or traits of a godly individual. And so pairing these two psalms together, it is a reminder for us that our lives are to be a reflection of our relationship with the Lord. In other words, as we think about the greatness of our God, if we're living our lives in submission to Him, then our lives should look and they should be different. So let me pause right here and say this. If you are a born-again believer, people should be able to look at your life and know that you belong to God. In how you talk and how you treat other people, in your daily walk, bottom line, in how you live, if you're a born-again believer, people should be able to look at your life and know that you belong to God. Listen, if you have given your life to Christ, your life should look different than it did before you came to Christ. Now, I'm not saying that we should be perfect. I don't believe that perfection is going to come until we stand before God face to face one day. And what a great day that's going to be. But even though we may not be able to achieve perfection in this life, certainly Christ should make a difference in our lives today. Why? Because as Christ followers, we're no longer submitting to our fleshly desires. As Christ followers, we're no longer making decisions the way we used to make them. Now we are submitting, not to our flesh, we're submitting to the Spirit. And we're not just making decisions based on what I want or what I desire, but we're making decisions based on what God desires. And so as a result, our lives should be different. So hear this again. If you're a born-again believer, people should be able to look at your life and know that you belong to God. And I believe that ultimately this is going to flow into our life of thanksgiving. Because if we believe that God is good, regardless of our circumstances, and if we believe that in the Lord we have so much to be thankful for, then that should be seen in our lives as well. As our lives are filled with gratitude. And so this morning, my prayer is that as we read this psalm, that we would be overtaken once again by the greatness of our God, that we might not only live, but that we would live differently, that our lives would be ones of thanks living. So with that in mind, let's read this psalm. Psalm 111, verses 1 through 10. It says, "Hallelujah! I will praise the Lord with all my heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The Lord's works are great, studied by all who delight in them. All that He does is splendid and majestic. His righteousness endures forever. He has caused His wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He has provided food for those who fear Him. He remembers His covenant forever. He has shown His people the power of His works by giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of His hands are truth and justice. All His instructions are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to His people. He has ordained His covenant forever. His name is holy and awe-inspiring. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow His instructions have good insight. His praise endures forever." Now, as we look at this passage today, I want to begin by highlighting the very first word of verse 1. It's the word hallelujah. So the word hallelujah, it's like an expression, it's an exclamation of thanks. It's a Hebrew word that means praise ye Yah, Yah being short for Yahweh. So in English, it can simply be translated as praise the Lord, and that may be what some of your translations say there instead of hallelujah, praise the Lord. Now, we toss that phrase around, praise the Lord, quite frequently. Praising the Lord for maybe anything and everything, like when you're out on 123 driving behind that slow person, and they finally get over so that you can pass them, you might say, "Praise the Lord." Or maybe you are that slow person. All right? Or when you find out that that meeting that you were dreading, it got canceled and you get to go home from work early that day, you might say, "Praise the Lord." Or maybe when the volleyball team wins the state championship, you might exclaim, "Praise the Lord." I think we heard a lot of that on Friday. Now, certainly, I'm not saying that we shouldn't give praise to the Lord for all of these things. We certainly should. We should praise the Lord for the big things, and we should praise the Lord for the small things, because I believe that the Lord is at work in all of these things. However, the image that comes to mind with this word hallelujah is that of Revelation 19. So in Revelation 19, we see this great multitude gathered around the throne of God. And as they're gathered around the throne of God, their praise is so loud, so boisterous. There's this great outpouring of praise. And the praise is so great and so mighty, it can only be described with this one word, hallelujah, because it is praise for the Lord. And so the psalmist, he isn't just saying praise the Lord as a filler. He's not just saying hallelujah as something to say. Rather, it's as if he's contemplating all the reasons that he has to give thanks to the Lord. And as he contemplates all of these reasons, he's just overwhelmed and overcome with thankfulness that he can't do anything except shout it out, hallelujah. And so let me just encourage you this morning, allow for yourself to be overcome with thanksgiving. Instead of squandering your opportunities for Thanksgiving, like I mentioned earlier, allow for yourself to see all of the many blessings in your life and to see the greatness of our God, that you might give praise to the Lord as well. Allow for yourself to be overcome with thanksgiving, because this word hallelujah, not only is it an exclamation, but in many ways it's like an invitation to any and to all to come and experience the greatness of our God, to offer praise to the Lord as well. Because listen, not only the psalmist is able to praise the Lord, but I believe that anyone who experiences the greatness of our God, anyone who recognizes how great our Lord truly is, can exclaim and should exclaim thanks to the Lord. And so as we continue to walk through our passage this morning, there are three reasons that I want you to see as to why we can exclaim our thanks to the Lord as we live these lives of gratitude. First, we can exclaim our thanks to the Lord because the Lord's works are great. Let's look at verse 2 again. It says, "The Lord's works are great, studied by all who delight in them." We can exclaim our thanks to the Lord because the Lord's works are great. So there is a science laboratory in Cambridge, England. It's called the Cavendish Laboratory. And at the front of this, at the entrance of this Cavendish Laboratory, are two great oak doors. And over these oak doors are inscribed the words from Psalm 111:2, "The Lord's works are great, studied by all who delight in them." Now, while this establishment is not a Christian establishment, there is this recognition that all of the wondrous works of God around us are to be studied. And they're not just to be studied, but they're to be studied by man, that we might come to a greater understanding and a greater sense of thanksgiving for the Lord who has performed these wondrous works. But as we think about this scripture being inscribed over this Cavendish Laboratory in England, I want you to understand, science and history don't contradict our theology. Science and history complement our theology. In other words, as we study the world that we live in and as we gain a greater understanding for how the world works, it should give us a greater appreciation and understanding for the God who made it all. Science and history don't contradict our theology. Science and history complement our theology. And as we, like the psalmist, observe the Lord's work, both in this world and in our lives, we can come to the same conclusion that the psalmist comes to in verse 3, that all that the Lord does is splendid and majestic. Now, the word that we see translated there as all that he does, more than likely it's referring to God's providential acts. In other words, not only is God's creation the works of his hands great, but also how God works in our lives and uses the things in our lives to accomplish his plans and his purposes, that's also great as well. There have probably been occasions in your life when maybe at that time you didn't understand what was going on. Maybe you got passed up for a promotion, or maybe you just had to endure a terrible boss. Things in your personal life weren't going your way, and at the time you thought to yourself, man, why am I having to go through this? Why am I having to endure this? Really, I'm speaking from personal experience right now, because I've had those times in my life when I didn't quite understand what was going on, why I didn't understand why I was having to endure something. But on this side of it all, I'm able to look back and I'm able to see what God did in and through those circumstances to accomplish his plans and his purposes in my life. You see, not only is God's creative power great, but his providential power is great as well. And this is what the psalmist recognized, and this is what I would invite you to recognize in your own life today. Not only is God's creative power great, but his providential power is great as well. And as you recognize that the work of God's hands is great, both creatively and providentially, then I would invite you to offer thanksgiving to the Lord, to exclaim your thanks to the Lord. So we can exclaim our thanks to the Lord because the Lord's works are great. Second, we can exclaim our thanks to the Lord because the Lord remembers his covenant. Let's look at verse 5 again. It says, he has provided food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. We can exclaim our thanks to the Lord because the Lord remembers his covenant. So at the start of this service, we pause to remember the Lord's sacrifice through the Lord's Supper. And while this is not something that we do every week or even every month, although it wouldn't be wrong to do that, when we do this very intentionally. Because taking the Lord's Supper, it is an opportunity for us to pause and to remember the covenant that was established with us through Christ's blood shed and through his body broken on the cross. It is a covenant that cannot be broken. But what the psalmist is reminded of here is not that we are able to remember the Lord's covenant. What the psalmist is reminded of is that the Lord remembers his covenant. Now, I believe that the Lord gave us this very clear picture of his sacrifice through the Lord's Supper, through the bread and through the wine, through the juice. I believe that the Lord has given us this very, very visual thing for us to remember because we need that reminder. And like I shared a few weeks ago, we struggle at times to remember things as humans. We need reminders. We don't always have the best memory. But listen, the Lord, he does not have a bad memory. The Lord does not need to be reminded of anything. He simply remembers his covenant because he's perfect, because he's God. Now, as we think about this reminder that the Lord remembers his covenants forever, there are a couple of implications that I want you to hear this morning, especially as we think about his covenant with us through Christ's sacrifice. The first implication of God remembering his covenant forever is this: not a single person who desires to be saved will not be saved. God's promise is that anyone and everyone who calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. This is his covenant with us through Christ's shed blood on the cross. Therefore, there will not be a single person in hell who desired to come to salvation through Jesus Christ. Not a single person who desires to be saved will not be saved. God will save any and all who call upon the name of Jesus. Something that you can do today, even if you've never done it. You can call upon the name of Jesus, and the promise is that you will be saved. The second implication of God remembering his covenant forever is this: not a single person who has been saved will ever lose their salvation. Understand, the Lord's covenant is established by God. Therefore, it can only be broken by God, and God has promised that anyone who is in his hand, anyone who belongs to him, cannot be snatched out of his hand. Rather, he holds us both safely and securely until that day comes that we are called home. Now, this reminder that we are safe and secure in God's hand, that our salvation cannot be lost, it should not cause us to say, well, let me go on sinning even more. Let me just do whatever I want to do because the Lord has said that I am safe and secure in my salvation. No, recognizing that we are secure in our salvation should cause us even more so to have gratitude for the God that loves us and for the God that redeems us, causing us to desire to walk in obedience to him even more so all the days of our life. But we have this reminder: not a single person who has been saved will ever lose their salvation. Why? Because God remembers his covenant forever. And that should once again produce thanksgiving in your heart and in your life. And as that thanksgiving is produced, you can exclaim that thanks to the Lord. So we can exclaim our thanks to the Lord because the Lord's works are great and because the Lord remembers his covenant. Finally, this morning, we can exclaim our thanks to the Lord because the Lord is awe-inspiring. Let's look at verse 9 again. It says, he has sent redemption to his people. He has ordained his covenant forever. His name is holy and awe-inspiring. We can exclaim our thanks to the Lord because the Lord is awe-inspiring. Now, the word that we see there translated as awe-inspiring here in the CSB, in the King James Version, it's actually translated as the word reverend, the word that you might refer to a pastor with. Like, you could call me Reverend Skinner. I'm still partial to Pastor Kevin. But that word reverend, it comes from a Latin word that's really a compound word that means to be feared. Now, certainly, I'm not expecting any of you to fear me, and someone made sure that I knew after the first service that they do not fear me, and that's good. That's good. However, in Old Testament times, there was this real recognition that the priests at that time, they were representatives of God in this world. And therefore, there was this sense of reverence and fear before them. Now, in the New Testament, we're told that every single believer shares in the priesthood. There is a priesthood of every believer. Every single person that belongs to the Lord, there is a priesthood of the believer. And that reminder for us should remind us once again of how seriously we should take this calling of Christ follower. We are representatives of the Lord in this world. But there's another English word that we're more familiar with today to communicate the same idea of awe-inspiring. That's the word awesome. In fact, some translations may say holy and awesome is his name. Now, the word awesome, like praise the Lord, the word awesome is something else that we kind of toss around a lot today. In fact, awesome is really the word of my generation. It began to rise to popularity in the 1980s. But that word awesome really bears a greater weight than what we might ascribe to it at times, because it really refers to something that gives us pause and causes us to respond in awe. Think about watching fireworks, especially if you're watching fireworks in a big crowd. Those fireworks go up, and as they explode, there's just kind of this sense, and you begin to hear people say, ooh, awe. Right? You don't have to be told to do this. It's just automatic. As you see the greatness of these fireworks, you just respond in awe. So let me encourage you today. Become overwhelmed by the greatness of our God. Allow for His goodness, for His faithfulness, for His majesty, and for His love to cause you to pause and to simply respond in awe. Ooh, awe. Become overwhelmed by the greatness of our God. And as you are overwhelmed by the greatness of our God, would you allow for your heart to be filled with thanksgiving once again? We can exclaim our thanks to the Lord because the Lord's works are great, because the Lord remembers His covenant, and because the Lord is awe-inspiring. Now, as we think about this series that we've been in, this call to respond to the Lord and His works with gratitude, understand the first and the greatest way that we can respond to the Lord with thanksgiving is by surrendering our life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And if you've never done that, then today I want you to hear me say this again. Don't squander your opportunity for thanksgiving. Instead, would you respond this morning to the Lord with gratitude in your heart, for the great and mighty works that He performed through the cross? Would you respond to surrender your life to Christ? If you need to do that, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. In just a moment, we're going to sing another song, and as we sing, I'm going to be standing right down front in front of the Lord's Supper table. And if you need to respond today to confess your sins to the Lord, to ask Him to forgive you, to make Him the Lord of your life, then I would invite you to respond. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Today can be your day of salvation. And you never have to go a single day again without something to be thankful for. And maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ already, but I've never taken that next step of baptism to make my faith in Christ public through baptism. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. We've got several more this year that still need to be baptized, but if you need to get yours on the schedule, then I'd love to talk with you this morning. Now maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ already. I've already been baptized by immersion. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know that God's calling me to make this my church home, to become a member of this church body, to be on mission with this church body. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you, pray with you. Today you can become a member of this church. But whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond thankfully and obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.